At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes and the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is the voice I found. For those who lost their voice, I sing it loud. I keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free. A song for...
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White on Keeping It Real on Purpose. And today we have a special guest. She's Lavina Quilliam, who's a life coach. And she's going to talk about all things life coach. But I think what we're going to focus on today is self-care, because that seems to be coming up a lot. So welcome, Lavina, to Keeping It Real on Purpose.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, I know that we've been talking about self-care. We've been hearing it on the radio, the television, and everything, right? So I'm excited to learn more about that as we go along. Tell me, how do you show up in the world?
I like to show up in the world just with that grounded, resilient hope for what is to come, to look forward to, the possibilities in life, and just really, anchor it into, neutrality and peace.
Okay, I think we're a little stuck here. There we go. All right, So you show up in the world, I love the word resilient. So share with us a story on your resiliency.
So it started when I was very young. So I was in my early 20s, and I got diagnosed with Graves' disease, which I never saw it coming. I thought, especially at a young age, that you could just push your body, you could overwork, you wouldn't have to, you don't need to really look after yourself. You just take it for granted. That's when you get older, then you have to take care of yourself. And life showed me that, wow, I had full-blown anxiety every single day. People said it was in my mind, but in my body. And I was just every day, it was just panic attack every single day. And that's when I had to, look at self-care and really put myself first, regardless of the age.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I was just talking to someone else and we're talking about self-care and your mental health. So we know that anxiety can actually be something that has to do with mental health and, activity in your body that comes from a trauma, right?
Mm, yeah.
Okay. So tell us about you becoming a life coach and how that changed your life.
So I didn't really set out to be a life coach. I always like to help people. So it was a natural progression into this, or transition into it. I always want to serve. I always want to uplift. I always want to share my wisdom, what I've gone through. And then naturally people wanted that help. And therefore became the title of life coach, but it's just more like serving and helping. And it changed my life because I always want to learn something. I always want to, you know, become the best version of myself alongside, you know, the woman that I serve at the same time. So it's always inspiration and motivation, especially on the journey where it sounds like it's easy, but really the nitty gritty is that it's quite tough as well. And most of the time, you know, doing the self-care. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's important when you look at, you know, the shadows as well.
Right. So in what you were going through, you learned about self-care. What are three steps we can begin to kind of grasp self-care from your perspective?
So for me, I didn't really like, you know, we always hear about self-care and we know the importance of it, but to actually do it is a completely different story. So for me, because I'm very, you know, started this journey very logical, analytical, but I was like, no, I don't have to do this. So what I had to do was literally lay on the grass for like months before I could, you know, just lie on the grass or have my back against a tree, like really just keep it just simple. And even just getting fresh air, like that was the main thing. As long as I went outside, because I didn't really want to go outside because it drew panic attacks, but I literally just go outside. I know I'm going to feel better afterwards. So just get outside, and also just, you know, if I wanted to be inside, just listen to a music, just to, you know, relax the body. Any meditation as well was a really good thing.
Okay. And so you're saying to get outside is number one. And can you give us two others?
Yep. So the meditation was the second one. So if you can't go outdoors,
okay.
Yeah, meditate. And the third self-care is just ask your body, like, what does it need? And then provide it. So it might be like, I just want to, you know, read a book, but, you know, or I need to talk to someone, or just anything that comes from what the body is asking for.
Okay. And how do we sense what the body is asking for? How do we sense that?
To build a relationship. So it won't, majority of the time won't happen overnight. It might not tell us anything. You might throw a tantrum, it may be angry, and it just, we need to be that space, yeah, to feel it.
Right. Okay. Okay, so there's some type of behavior being displayed when the body's trying to tell you something, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to talk about self-care from the point of view, let's say, like you said, you were young, you didn't think you needed to do any of those things when you were younger, but you were experiencing anxiety when you were younger. How can people really realize, you know, I know you said making, you know, being aware of all of that, but how can you, you know, the listeners really say, hey, you know, something's weird going on. What step would you suggest when there's anxiety happening, like it happened for you? Would you suggest someone going to the hospital? What would you suggest to kind of get that under control?
But when I was desperate, actually, I remember walking inside the street and just go, I need to go to hospital. Like, that's how bad I felt. And then it was walking my sister. She's like, calm down. You're all right. Like, you'll be fine. But, like, literally, sometimes if that's what you feel to go, definitely, you know, seek help and that remedy. I wasn't able to. She stopped me. So I don't know how that would have went. Might have went quicker. But for me, it was like I seeked help in obviously the doctor, I seeked help in all these other specialists, you know, remedies, all these, you know, practitioners, like healers, even I went to them, I did EFT tapping, I did my own research, I literally, you know, seek help wherever you can, whoever you feel comfortable with.
Right,
but really getting
right.
That support was absolutely everything. I've had support ever since. So yeah, I would never be without it.
Okay. All right. With your self-care that you're talking about, there are questions that you're going to ask yourself. What three questions would start that journey?
The first question I'll ask is, which is probably like, it sounds simple, but why are you resisting the change? Or do you want the self-care? Do you want to love yourself, you know, bad enough as well? Because sometimes mm-hmm. we go, oh, you know, we don't really need to. Life is comfortable. We're okay. We don't need it. We're not right. immune to it. You know, life is not like rock bottom, basically. So it's like, how can we not allow life to get rock bottom, or where we feel like we need to have extra time, or when we're depleted, but to actually have it before that burnt out, depleted, just have it because mm-hmm. we love ourselves enough because of it.
Okay. Okay. So that would be the first question. Do you believe in celebrating every time? Because I know I do. Every time you reach a goal or, you know, a part of self-care, do you celebrate?
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. That's celebrating, playing, like just, you know, cherishing yourself. I think we don't do that enough. I think that's an amazing, amazing reminder to have that party. Every little milestone. Yeah. Jump around, mm-hmm, dance good. Around.
Yeah, jump around and everything. Yeah. That's great. Sometimes when you're healing, right? And when you're getting on board with self-care, in comes maybe somebody, right? Somebody that's like, oh, you don't have to do all of that, right? It's not necessary, right? How do you start to, I guess, not be distracted? How do you not be distracted over something that's someone possibly who's like close to you saying? How do you fix that? How do you adjust your mindset?
And that happens all the time because a lot of people perceive it as an expense or a cost. And they tell me all the time, like, it's a waste of money. Like, you're wasting all your money on this. You have nothing to show. It doesn't work. So I get that all the time. And for me, it was always like, I need to be that leader and I need to continue to show the effects that I do. And people are like, you know, you look so much younger and you just feel good. You're uplifted. And it's because I'm like, I'm doing self-care, but I'm not like, I'm just showing the way. I'm just like showing it through my being and my embodiment that people are going to ask why, how, you know, it is through the self-care. And I feel like just, you know, being that shining example and just keep on doing it and having that blockers down and go, that's people's energy. And they have every right to believe that, push that energy mm-hmm. back to energy hygiene and remain in my energy and keep on going.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's good. That's very good. Because I know, yeah, like you said, it does happen a lot and you get naysayers and things like that. But you need to know how to kind of guard that. And that's really good what you said. Very good. What helps you to slow down and feel more present in your experience?
And it has been tough because, as I said, I had hyperthyroid. So it was like, you know, with Graves' disease, very, very hyper. Mm-hmm. And then I lost all my energy. So that also helped me with my senses. For me, it's something very simple in terms of I like chocolates. So I like to mindfully suck on a chocolate. I also mm-hmm. like to see, you know, what can I see? What can I hear? At this time and what's beautiful around me, like, you know, a flower, right. I notice a lot of things on the ground and I pick it up, a little trinket here and there and just like little things.
Okay, just to notice the little things, right? Because one time I did an exercise with myself and I was like, I wonder how long I was going to wash dishes, and I didn't have to, but I was like, I got to start staying in the moment. And it was a really simple thing. So I went to wash the dishes, which I normally just throw them in a dishwasher. But I said, I want to try to stay in the moment. So I started washing the dishes. And it was a 5-minute thing, but I was teaching myself how to feel the, you know, the wetness of the towel, the mm-hmm. way the towel felt, the way that the dish detergent felt. And then I was feeling the plates if I left anything residue. But I've often felt my mind going on, okay, you got to hurry up because you got to cook this or you got to do that, you know. But I always kind of came back to the moment. I think being in the moment and feeling more present in the moment is very good because the world is teaching us we have to be busy, active, hustling, and all of that. But we have to come back to slowing down and feeling more present. What has been your experience with that?
Absolutely. And it's everywhere. Like, and it's, you know, through people, like you're perceived as, you know, lazy if you're like looking like you're not doing much. And I've got that title many, many times that I'm, you know, very lazy. And I'm just like, oh, what are you doing with yourself? And you're doing with your life. And again, I stop and I breathe throughout the day. Like, people are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm taking a breathing break. And it's like, no matter where I am, you know, in the public or wherever, they're like, are you okay? Are you okay? Do you have COVID? Like, you're breathing COVID on me. And I was like, no, I'm actually just breathing. You know, I'm sorry that you're around me, but, you know, I can't always go to the toilet every 5 minutes.
That's really good. And breathing, those breathing exercises bring you into awareness of yourself. Like, how you're breathing, and it also brings you into awareness of the moment, you know, and that's really good stuff. Really good stuff. What can you tell us today that you didn't think you could do a year ago?
I was allow myself to not feel guilty about having a venture, because, as you know, people tell you, you know, wasting money and things like that. I always used to have a venture. I used to, but I feel guilty. I was like, oh, I shouldn't. Maybe, you know, this is not good. Mm-hmm. But for me now, it's like, you know, every month, you know, do something like a celebration for myself and just do it without that guilt and just really right. soak up and enjoy.
Yeah, that's good. Because a lot, along with having self-care, people make us feel guilty because, oh, you know, or try to call us names, right? I know you just said that, try to say, oh, you're being lazy, blah, blah, blah. But it's really doing self-care. So can you explain to the audience, what's the difference between alone and solitude?
Oh, I love this. So first, you know, when my journey was, I felt like I was alone, but, you know, you're never alone anyway. Like, you think that, but there's always, you know, whatever people believe in, that's a connection. And also, you know, with Mother Nature or whatever people, you know, believe in, whether it's God, there's always something, there's always someone there looking at you, supporting you, like, you know, praying and just really, you know, just letting it all out. And you can just like have that sense of that feeling that you never learn. That's why you like it, you soak it up. But people perceive it as that you're alone. And it's mm-hmm. funny, why I spend so much time alone, and, you know, isn't that lonely? And it's like, no, it's filling my cup. I'm building my connection. I'm just loving that essence, that presence and that feeling. Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. And I think solitude has a lot to do with that, because you're embracing yourself a lot more. You're being aware of yourself a lot more and you're releasing that peace. You know, you're experiencing that peace. So I think, you know, a lot of people believe alone time is different than alone. And I think, you know, when, oh, you're very lonely, they kind of, you know, they probably kind of put that word there. Are you lonely? Is that why you're home by yourself? And I'm like, no. No, you can be alone. You can be lonely in a room full of people. Like, so it's very, very true. They associate the word alone with lonely. I don't know why. It's crazy, but yeah. So I have, you know, clients that kind of, it's like, no, that's not the same thing. That's just not the same thing. Do you commit to a schedule that shows your self-care and your solitude time?
Oh, absolutely. I always make sure I embed it in my calendar and I give time, otherwise slowly time evaporates. We make, you know, busy time doing other things. But yeah, very much so. I make sure every single day there's some sort of self-care, whether it's just a little thing every day.
Right. Well, this is good stuff.
I do it in the morning. Yeah.
I do mine in the morning too as well. This is really good stuff. So how can my audience get in touch with you? And where are you located?
I'm located in Sydney, Australia. And people can get in contact with me through my free Facebook group, which I like just, you know, hanging out there and just being, you know, with my people. It's called Logical Minds, Sacred Body and Heart-Centered Beings.
Okay. All right. That's That's good. That's a mouthful, but that's really good. That's good stuff. I like that. I really do like that. So this brings us to the end of our show. We've gotten a lot of great information to get us going on that self-care journey. And I want to thank my guest, Lavina Quilliam, for being here today. Thanks for the listening, audience. And if you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post it about on social media, and leave a rating. If you really want to catch up to Lavina, I need you to click the button on the bottom of the Spotify podcast and leave her a question, and I'll make sure that she gets the question. Thanks so much. This is your host, Edna White, and our esteemed guest, Jillian. Oh, Lord, now see, I done messed it up. Lavina Quilliam. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
That was good.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
To the one still searching for their sound, you are not alone, you are glory bound. Let your story be the fire, let your pain be the spark. We rise together, ignite.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.